This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader. And it's time for Punter's Postmortem. Punter's Postmortem.
Capitalist, the Magic Millions winners, drawn clear in the slipper. Yankee Rose home into second, but Capitalist takes it out. Capitalist by a half length.
Call 1353 53. We've got the best racing experts in town. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Good morning, everybody. Hoping you had a terrific weekend. We'll be taking your calls on 1353 53 and your text messages 0419 767 272. So much happening in the world of racing. It was a terrific final day of the Melbourne Carnival at Sandown for the Godolphin Stable with that royal blue colours. Well, three different trainers. That was a remarkable thing, taking out the three feature races and certainly stamping himself as one tough competitor. QE backing up from the Geelong Cup and the Melbourne Cup, winning the Geelong Cup and then winning the Sandown Cup over 3,200 metres. And it was a stoic effort, there's no doubt about that. In the Sandown Guineas over the mile, while Morton's Fork, it took an eternity to eventually get the prize, but get the prize it did. It looks to have a very, very bright future. And then the Zipping Classic, it was Saeed Bin Saru trained Beautiful Romance for Godolphin, which actually won the 2,400-metre Zipping Classic, a race which was won on four occasions by Zipping itself. And then on the local scene at Rosehill Gardens, I think we saw a pretty good performances, particularly in the first couple of races, and then we had to wait until the last race for maybe the most outstanding performance of the day at Rosehill Gardens. He performs on a daily basis. It's quite remarkable, actually. Ronnie Duffacy joins us. G'day, Ronnie.
Yeah, g'day, TK. It was a meeting where it's usually just we're getting into this summer racing.
Yes.
It can be dangerous to follow, but I think you're right. I reckon there's a few horses to follow that are really nice types out of that meeting, and which we can talk about later. And as you said, in Melbourne, what a day for the Godolphin Blue with their three trainers all winning races, worldwide trainers. And QE, well, there was a few punters in the QE when they took the 320 earlier in the week.
320?
That's what Munsey went up on. I think,
wow, odds on the day. But anyway, yeah. Good shopping to the people who got the 320 QE. And again, sort of belying this fact that we don't think the European stayers are maybe tough enough. Well, QE won the Geelong Cup, Ronnie, and then backed up in the Melbourne Cup and then has come out and won the Sandown Cup. So, chewy on your boot to the Aussies, I guess.
Yeah, look, I don't know whether they say they're not strong enough. I don't think they just don't try. That's true.
And you can't compare what happened with QE to say what happened with Oceanographer when you think it was Oceanographer going for three starts in 13 days compared to QE, whose runs have been spaced.
Yeah, that's right. It's they're all individuals. And,
sure.
It's a great carnival all around.
It was. Dean Lester joins us from Melbourne. G'day, Dino.
Hello, TK.
How was Sandown, buddy?
Sandown was good.
Yeah.
No, it was a good day's racing. Track played well. As you said, the Godolphin Blue well to the fore. And, it was a good day.
Dino, just an observation. You saw some jockeys trying to save ground and sneak up on the inside. And I understood the tactics. And then once they got there, they thought, oh, what the hell have I done? Because not many of them kicked on from there.
Yeah, I don't think it was the track. I think it was the...
Really?
It was. Look,
it's
hard to explain on radio, but the hillside circuit, the last bit of the turn, cuts away to the inside very quickly. So the natural thing is for horses just to wander off that bend. So if you cut back to the inside, you've actually got to really drag the horse around the corner. The actual ground's fine, but you lose a bit of momentum. And the other thing is that out wide, the wind was just blowing them home. It was was very, very strong wind, and that's why they're running home in 32 seconds, the last 600. It was very wind-assisted.
Yeah. Did anything come down the inside and win?
Lucky Hustler.
Lucky Hustler. Got a bit of class there, though, Dino.
Bit of class, but he cut back later in the straight. It's a funny way. It's a funny thing to ride hillside, and most of the jog. You watch how Kieran McAvoy rode QE. Watch the replay there on the home turn. He didn't drift out for the better ground. He just went around the arc of the bend. The actual rail cuts in too much.
Right.
And, yeah, I think, and Brad Rewilla did it very smart on Lucky Hustler.
Mm. How did you see it, Ronnie?
Yeah, interesting, with Dean's thoughts. You know, it's obviously it's the camber on the point of the turn there that they do wander out a bit or something like that. But
just put the rail out 3 metres there. It just should be, it would make it a lot easier.
Yeah, look, I've got no issues with, you know, tracks that play off the rail. You know, there's plenty of room on that track for everyone.
The leaders win.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there was plenty of room. There's always hard luck stories, aren't they? And we can hear them, 13-53-53. Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au. G'day, Glenn.
Morning, TK. Morning, Ronnie. Morning, Dino. I can guarantee the boys won't be going to Din Tai Fung on a Wednesday again for a while, especially before they've put the markets up.
Yes.
$3.20, the $1.80 chance. But yeah. I tell you what. That's why they put rubbers on the end of pencils. You're allowed to make a mistake. And
well, it's on again. It's on again.
Punters never seem to complain when you make a mistake and put up $3.20, the $1.80 chance. They always seem to whinge when they go up $1.80 and they thought they'd be $2.50.
Mm.
Don't they, Ronnie?
That's part of the business, Glenn. That's the side of the business you're on.
Yeah. Still, in saying all that, I mean, it was close.
Racing's a great thing, TK, and when you're pricing, you can be 100% right and still wrong, and 100% wrong and still be right.
Yeah, because Swakadelic was well supported, Glenn, late.
Well, I think
wasn't it eights into sixes or something?
Well, I think it was a matter, TK, that if you weren't on at the good odds QE, then you, as you got closer to the race, you're looking for something else.
You went shopping.
That's become a much, much better price than it was 2 days beforehand.
Mm.
And it doesn't leave you much to much wiggle room, I can guarantee you that.
Yeah. Dino, does QE stay here?
No.
Right.
I think he might be back for the Sydney Cup, though.
Right.
I think he's going. I think other than there's a little problem with quarantine, I think those horses are going to go to Dubai now.
Yeah. So the team that came down with Appleby, they've had 10 races for 5 wins. That's quite incredible.
Yeah.
Just talking to John O'Shea on radio on Saturday morning.
Right.
I think the theory was they were all going to stay until they started racing. Well, Charlie would have said to him, "Geez, I better take these home. I'm had too good a time here. I want to come back." So I think there may have been a theory that a lot of these horses of Godolphin's may have stayed here prior to the carnival.
Mm. Right.
And now they've performed so well, they've had second thoughts.
Right. So they'd be looking at picking off some of the more prestigious, I won't say richer races, I'll say maybe more prestigious races back there in Europe or other places.
I don't know what their thinking is, whether they, you know, want to go back, that's right, and have a
well,
go.
Well, why would you take them back and then bring... You wouldn't take them back for fun and then just bring them back here.
No, obviously, yeah. No. Whether they're thinking of coming back here in the autumn to Sydney or concentrating on another spring is the question.
Yeah.
Well, they're mad if they don't come back here in the autumn.
Well, that's exactly right. The money on offer is quite incredible. I think they've actually... they would have turned a massive profit, you would imagine, from $1.5 million, Dino. I think they're probably picked up in prize money. Reports.
They've done very well, very well. But speaking of the autumn months, there's been no errors with the price with Winx. He's just opened up favourite for the Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah,
that market's gone up this morning. Of course, in the news this morning, too, Winx. Connections knocking back a $16 million a race there in Florida. Yeah, we have put a market up on the Queen Elizabeth for next year. And, well, I suppose it's a matter of you start with her and slot the others in behind her, because she's gone up $1.80 Winx, which is realistically the price she was to win the Cox Plate.
Yep.
We've got Hartnell the second pick at 11. Then we've got Oh My Sword and the United States at 15. Blackheart Bart coming through. Divine Prophet, Jamaica, Prized Icon, Sacred Elixir and Toss and Stardom at $26. And the Melbourne Cup winner Al Mandan heads the rest at $51. Now this is a situation, this is an all-in market. Basically, we're just plucking horses out of the sky. If you'd like to have a bet on any horse that we've quoted in the Queen Elizabeth, by all means, you can do so. You're not having a gun held at your head to have a bet. If the horse doesn't nominate for the Queen Elizabeth, you'll get your money back.
So
you basically
rules.
Got a free kick there. And if you don't think there's a horse there that you like to back, by all means, make a call and we'll price it up for you and put it in. And then when the nominations are taken for the championships for next year, we'll open another market, which will be the nominations, and all of those in this market that haven't nominated will be refunded.
Mm. There you go. Well, I see Chris Root's report in the Herald and also Ray Thomas with the story regarding Winx as well in the Telegraph this morning, and This race, Dino, do you know a great deal about it? You actually buy your position as a stable in the race, as I'm led to believe, and I think you pay $1 million for it. That helps go into the pool, and then if you don't actually get there with your horse, you can then retain that position and then lease it out or sell it, or lease or sell, to another runner.
Sounds like getting tickets to the US Masters.
It's like a bit like a Calcutta or something, isn't it, Roddy?
No,
you know, like how you...
I've got no idea. I've never heard of it.
Could potentially have rot written all over it. I don't know about anyone else.
See, that's just
your
typical.
Eyes light up there, man. Your eyes just light up.
Hey, I've been in this business a long time, TK, and if it looks too good, it evidently is. So you've got to find a way around it. Well, I reckon that's the best way around it.
When I was thinking this race is worth $12 million or maybe $16 million, right, I'm thinking, my gosh, and then I read you got to pay $1 million to be involved. That doesn't sound so attractive.
Yeah, I've bred a few horses in the US, and you get these pay-ups from the time they're born. And, you know, so I think it's a gradual thing where you've got to keep paying up, like a Magic Millions nomination, and even a Golden Slipper nomination, where you get about 15 acceptances all the way through. So it's a bit of a cash cow, really.
And for this race to be successful, Dino, you'd think the likes of a Highland Reel and a California Chrome and... I mean,
all the players, yeah.
Yeah, you'd want to have that. But I love the fact, and I think racegoers in this country and this state should love the fact that Chris Waller has made that decision. Ronnie, he's basically said four starts in the autumn. Obviously, the Queen Elizabeth worth $4 million on the championship day, and then four more starts in the spring, which hopefully will be a third successive Cox Plate.
Well, then it all sounds beautiful, and we'd love to see that happen. But they're race horses. Things go wrong.
Correct.
You know? No way in the world be getting me at $1.80 at this stage. But we can only hope that she, you know, everything goes right, and we do see her eight times next year. That would be just amazing for racing.
First bet taken on the Queen Elizabeth, 100 on Winks at $1.80.
Ronnie?
Line them up, Glenn. Line them up. Yep.
No.
Line them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's probably what we said when we put her up $8 in last year's Cox Plate, too, Ronnie.
You can still gloat about that one.
Want to get your opinion, Dino, if I can, mate. Morton's four. Craig Williams, talk about swinging wide on the turn. I know a bloke who might have had something on it. Never thought it was going to get there.
No.
Or maybe the last 50, I thought. Yeah. But never. It knuckled down, but...
nearly all his rides on Saturday. He was nearly in the same lane all day. It's like, I'm sure he thought there was a faster lane out there.
Yeah.
It was heart and mouth stuff, there's no doubt. But when when the horse really changed leg with about 100 to go, that's when he really knuckled down. And it was a good effort to get up. I think the second horse is quite a good horse too, Rutherman. He's still a bit green, and the fillies run third and fourth. But
Jennifer Lynn was a good run.
She was a good run. I think she's just got a short, sharp sprint, and that's, you know, when she burst through, I thought she was going to win the race.
I thought then, all over.
Yeah, and then she just peaked on her run. So I would say that they learned a bit about her on Saturday. And Faraway Town, much the same. She ducked up the inside, but that was about it.
What about the fifth horse, Benz?
Benz, I think he might have been just still a bit tired from the week before. He'd had a very, very hard time of it.
Well, he's carrying a bit of a burden there, isn't
Absolutely.
He?
Absolutely.
He's carrying a little. Ronnie, Morton's Fork, exciting prospect, and there's no reason can't go to another level.
Yeah, look, a race like the Rosehill Guineas would probably be a lovely target for a horse like him. He's done a good job. He'd been up a while, and he had the three runs in Melbourne and saved the best probably till last, although he was pretty good in the Carbine Club, and he probably had the best form lines going into that race. So it's a good job to keep him going. He raced in Sydney, I think, back in September and all the way through to, you know, into November, you know, a couple of months later, he's winning a feature. So good effort by the team.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's good to have him in the team. Speaking with Henry Plumtree yesterday on Melbourne Radio, he sort of mentioned that, say, Impending and Bezel might be the two slightly above Morton's Fork.
Okay. Mm.
So with an eye to, say, Randwick Guineas and Australian Guineas being the same day, but it's nice to have a reserve like Morton's Fork just behind them.
Yeah. What did you make of it, Glenn? Do you think it can take that next step now, Morton's Fork?
Well, he showed TK here as a two-year-old that he had plenty of promise, and anything realistically that can go from the Carbine Club, Dino said on Saturday morning, the rule of thumb Sandown Guineas is whatever runs best in the Carbine Club usually wins the Sandown Guineas.
Yeah, that's the form line, isn't it?
He was the only horse coming through that race there. But the interesting point with these three-year-olds now is, you know, those that have only had a couple of runs, do they have, you know, 3 or 4 weeks off and look to Brisbane, because we've got this massive day in January, Magic Millions Day, with $14 million on offer.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a few that ran on Saturday. Darren Weirs, I think he'll probably head that way.
Hudson Eagle will.
Hudson Eagle's definitely going. Lucky Hustler will go back. They both won last year. And Stratum Star's a chance to go for the 1800.
Right.
If he doesn't go to Perth, I don't know if he got on the plane last night, but if he doesn't go to Perth, I think the Gold Coast is his option.
Okay. Ronnie, just a quick look at Rose Hill, because we'll get news and sports headlines in about 5 minutes' time, and then we'll start taking your calls on 13 53 53. The lovely Tanya is waiting. Don't forget the text messages, 0419 767 272. But Naita, we had to wait quite some time to race 9. Punters were pretty patient. They weighed in as well, Naita, and didn't let supporters down at all. Very, very impressive.
No, she's a brilliant filly, isn't she? Or brilliant mare. She's got that turn of speed that can put a field away, and she showed that at her past two starts. She can handle it wet. She can handle it dry. All she's got to do is tick off that speed to get over the 1,200 metres, and they're really looking at a group class mare. I got no doubt about it. So she's pretty exciting.
It's, Ronnie, just that difference. You know, you often think, oh, it's not that much of a jump from the 1,100 to the 1,200, but some of them can lose their dash from the 1,100 to the 1,200. I mean, what's the stable thinking? They probably won't ever think about stretching it out further than the 1,200.
No, well, he tried that at the 1,400 two, three starts back
right
now,
yeah.
And she was awful. She ran last. She was beaten 17 lengths, and he said, well, I won't be doing that again.
Right.
And, you know, her prior defeat, before that, I think, was in Brisbane. I don't know whether John trained her, and that was at 1,200.
Yeah.
So she was brilliant at Wyong at 1,000. She went to Canterbury at 1,100, was sensational. Then the Randwick 1,000 last time, and obviously the 1,100 of Saturday. So she's really stamped herself a terrific sprinter, but the options become much, much better if you can get to 1,200 metres.
Yeah, very much better. Then there's a whole world of options after that 1,200 metres if they can stretch them out, but Naita's just not that type of horse. There were a couple of disappointments in this race, Ronnie. LMNOP, what did you make of LMNOP, and what did you make of Raphael's Cat?
Well, LMNOP, he'd had that tough first-up run.
He was trapped wide, always off the track, batted on pretty well, and you were just hoping that he'd get a better run and show some dash.
You know, he was disappointing. That first-up run may have hurt him, and maybe he's worth another chance. Just get a little bit warm and jig-joggy prior to that race as well. And the other horse, well, Raphael's Cat was off a long break, and the jury was out on his trials, the way I looked at it, and
compounded.
He just compounded late Black Max practice. So we'll assess him after his next run.
All right, okay. What did you say, jiggy-joggy?
Yeah, just got on the toe in the yard.
Jiggy-joggy.
Okay. Agitated.
Right. Is that a...
That's in the technical term.
Yeah, that's
racing.
A technical term for absolutely. It, is it?
What people see in the streets of Maroubra and Kingford, you know, early in the morning with Ronnie, jiggy-joggy along Anzac Parade.
Right. Yeah, okay. Anyone get up to any jiggy-jogging on the weekend?
This is Punters Postmortem. Want to get something off your chest? Call us on 13 53 53. SMS 0419 767 272. Or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
No name on this one that comes in. Text 0419 767 272. Kiwi's prize money in Oz so far. So Kiwi has actually won the Geelong Cup, picked up $180,000 for that. Was fourth in a race called the Melbourne Cup. $250,000 for fourth in the Melbourne Cup. And picked up another $90,000 yesterday, which was for the Sandown... Well, sorry, when I say yesterday, I meant Saturday, for the Sandown Cup. So that's fantastic prize money, Dino.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. TK, more than he was earning as a jumper earlier in the season, I think.
So, hard to believe, isn't it? Charlie Appleby's other runners. Scottish, second in the Caulfield Cup, picked up $425,000. Oceanographer, we chatted about earlier on in the program, third in the Geelong Cup, then won the Lexus, picked up $27,000 for third in the Geelong Cup. The Lexus picked up $180,000. And then Francis of Assisi won the Bendigo Cup at $180,000 for Charlie Appleby and Godolphin, and then the Queen Elizabeth, $180,000. So in all, they picked up $1.5 million. They're just Charlie's horses.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
I reckon the boss would be happy, Dino.
I'd say. Probably cost them, a couple of $100,000, maybe $300,000 all up to get them here and look after them. So it's been a good time.
And can you, how many horses has Charlie brought down previous to this, Ronnie?
No, this is his first go.
That's what I'm thinking. This is his first crack at it.
Yep.
So he's been coming for a long time.
How many trainers has Sheikh Mohammed got?
They're the three, aren't they?
Is there more than three? I'm not sure.
We can't afford a fourth.
Lee Friedman won one with him Friday night with a Staminé. So.
Yeah, true, yeah.
I mean, so they've got little bit players.
Little bits and pieces.
But
Of those, right, Scottish, Kiwi, Oceanographer, Francis of Assisi, who do you think's best suited to, you know, staying here or coming back and building on what they've done already?
Scottish is the best horse. Mm. Francis of Assisi's been the revelation, and... he's the one that, you know, I think he's, you know, if you see, look at Kiwi running fourth in the Melbourne Cup, he's a really good, tough horse, and with a better momentum in the Cup, might have run third.
Right.
I think Francis of Assisi's got more dash. So, you know, whether he's a Melbourne Cup horse or even a Caulfield Cup horse next year, who knows? But
yes.
Scottish is the best horse. I'd love to have seen him run in the Emirates just to see his second run in Australia, because all the others improved a heap off their first run.
Interesting your comments, Ronnie, about Syed bin Sarua and the fact that Beautiful Romance, you know, that second run here. When is he ever going to learn to run his Melbourne Cup horses here before the Cup?
Yeah, he's pretty stubborn about that one, isn't he? It's like he's using the Melbourne Cup as the Sandown Cup lead up.
Has he checked the prize money on offer in both races?
I don't think prize money matters, but anyway.
He's very fond of Sandown. That's, of course, where the quarantine used to be.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And a very unusual hobby.
I'm sure they're happy to have him, but the VRC would be happy to have him as well.
Talking about the Middle East, I think Dylan Dunn may have won the Abu Dhabi Apprentice Challenge overnight, which is a big feather in his cap. It's a good thing for a young man to go overseas and get a result, let alone win the series. So
Ben Thompson won it last year, so we're back to back. Melbourne Apprentices.
Both going well, which is terrific. 13-53-53. The open line now open for our experts, Dean Lester, Glenn Munsey and Ronnie Duffacy. Let's go to Ash. Hi, Ash. Hello, Ash. Good morning, Ash.
You there, boys?
Hi, Ash. Sorry, buddy. We just had a... Good, mate. Well done.
Mate, just want to get your opinions on... I was reading the paper this morning about the jockeys getting fined for overuse of the whip.
Yeah.
And Ollie getting, you know, $1,000, I think it was, for a couple of times over the allotted amount. I'm just thinking, like, they get done if they don't ride the horse out. I understand if they flog the hell out of the horse, but should they be worrying about at the 200, I'm allowed to hit it five times, at the 100, I'm allowed to hit another three times, instead of worrying about the half-ton horse right beside him doing 60 kilometres an hour and trying to find a spot to get through?
Ooh. Obviously not worried about that because they keep fining them.
Yeah. Well, Damien Lane just should have taken it in an envelope Saturday because he was always going to hit Big Orange more than five times before the 100 to try and wind him up and go, and he got fined $1,000.
Well, Ash, you bring up a terrific point, though, and I think this is what they're going to start to look at, Dino. I hear this word review.
There is a review in place, I think, December 7. There's I think, with Racing Australia, but... Look, I think the Melbourne Cup was one of the great examples of why the whip rule's been so well regulated. 100 to go, $6 million on the line. What's Kieran McAvoy do? Puts the whip away. Just magnificent to watch.
He
knew what his horse needed.
Yeah, it was beautiful theatre. It was great horsemanship, but there was the use of the argument, and I think this is where you've got to listen to the jockeys, Ronnie and panel, and listeners. You can buy into it. 13.53.53. I know self-interest is a wonderful motivation, right? But if you listen to the jockeys here, it seems to be they need different rules for the sprint races compared to the distance races, Ronnie. I think they can mount a pretty fair argument in this department.
Well, obviously, it's all about switching these stayers off in two-mile races and getting them to relax. But then you've got to pick them up at the right time, and horses get left flat-footed.
Well, three across the line got fined in the Sandown Classic, or the Zipping Classic, and it was on the cards because Big Orange was going to wind it up from a long way out. So they're all going to be under the pump from a long way out.
And you'll notice a lot more jockeys wearing spurs now. That'll be the next thing they want to target. And I know one jockey in particular in Sydney basically wears spurs on every horse he rides.
Mm. Yeah, spurs is an interesting one.
Some don't ride long enough to use them.
The old days, the spurs would be a lot more severe than what they are these days because as Dino said, they used to ride with the foot in the iron and really they could lift that ankle out and give them a nice old reef up the ribs. But
well, one got pitched the other day because the spurs were turned inwards.
That's right. Yeah, that can happen too. You know, you got to monitor that. But, they're not as effective because of the pattern and the way the style of rider these days. The old-fashioned rider with the long irons and the foot riding can just peel his toe out and give him a nice old reef up the saddle cloth there. Now it's probably not as relevant.
All right. We'll take your thoughts regarding it. 13.53.53. I think the self-regulation is not too bad. And again, it's just going to come to some massive blow eventually, Ronnie, about if it's so bad and it's so crucial, why isn't there a protest? And why won't that protest be upheld if it's so crucial?
Well, I'd hate to be judging it. We'll be the person to judge and say, well, that horse would have lifted a neck or something.
Well, hold on, but you're sort of saying that anyway. I mean, you're quoting now we're looking at staying race and saying they've got to get going, right? Which means if they've got to get going and, say, chase a horse, I'm just making this race an example, the Big Orange one, okay? Mm-hmm. If you've got to get going because you know Big Orange is there and you've got to get them moving, they're going to flaunt. That means it will have a significant impact, according to them, on the finish.
Look, I'm all for clamping down on whipping horses out of contention.
Correct.
Why horses? Jockeys are so professional and educated these days. They know if a horse is reacting, to a slap up with a piece of foam. That's all it is now—a piece of foam that makes a bit of a noise that scares them more than they can feel anything. It's nothing like the old days with the old leather padded leather ended whip on a cane. Yeah. This is,
I can guarantee you they hurt.
Yeah. They did hurt.
You'd have copped them.
We're only talking about it. Josh Parr and I were talking about it on Thursday.
What, the cane or the strap?
No, the whip. He said to me, your old man would have given you a couple of real good beltings, wouldn't he? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, my old man gave me a few too.
Yeah.
And he said, you look at these now. He said, that's nothing compared to what they were.
Well, you would have deserved more.
I just think the rule has got to incorporate that. I don't mind the jockeys being pinned when they hit horses' consecutive strides. I think it's got to be give the horse a chance to react to the strike.
Hmm.
Yep.
And if they don't respond or you see them going out of contention, if they do, ride along. Ride along to the best of your ability. But if you go consecutive strikes, I think someone got pinned for that on Saturday, that's fair enough.
But they're saying that they need it to get the distance races to get their mounts
going. That's
what I
mean. If you can do it at the 800, hit them, give one a strike, six strides later, go again, six strides later, but not count five. You see Damien Lane was itching to sort of really get Big Orange going, but he knew he had limited strikes left, and in the end he went four over as it was.
Yeah.
We only want one rule, and that's called the common sense rule.
Yeah.
Jeez.
No hope of getting that input.
And they'd be different between every different state when you travel.
There's a big war chest building up all these fines, you know.
Yeah, what happens? Is that the big Christmas party at the end of the year? Or
it's going to be whopping.
It's going to be massive, isn't it?
I thought it went into the injured jockeys fund or something like that.
No, it does. It does. Goes to the jockeys trust.
Jockeys trust. Well, let's hope so. Do you guys know the plan for Holler? Runner last, both starts now. Spell, Geld, Stud, Nick from Kellyville. Anybody know? Holler?
Is he gelded?
No.
That's a question mark. Spell question mark. Geld question mark. Stud question mark. Nick from Kellyville.
They did say during the Carnival Godolphin there was a number of horses that were on the line to get the chop.
Yes, they were running with the last chance of their manlyhood.
Yeah,
I don't know whether he was one. He's. I thought he was marked down as a little cheap stallion prospect.
Good morning, Dean. What do you think of State Solicitor's chances in the Winterbottom Stakes? Regards, Eagle-Eyed Phil.
Oh, he could. He might win. Who knows? He's a absolute star horse in Perth. He's now won 6 out of 7. It'll be a big leap into the Winterbottom because he's only been winning restricted races. But right. I'm sure, looking at the times he runs and looking at the sectional breakdown of his runs, he's a seriously good horse.
He's got some serious horses in front of him in the market. Malaguirre is the $3 favourite for the Winterbottom, and news this morning that he has landed all right in Perth.
Oh, okay.
Terra Vista, $3.50. Takedown. Gary Moore rode it over to Perth, I think, at $6. And then State Solicitors at $7. Shydell and Vega Magic at $9. Now, that's on Saturday week, the Winterbottom. This Saturday, the two of their
first
features, the Railway. Now, final field is drawn this afternoon for the Railway Stakes, and that will come through at, and I'll tell you now, 3 o'clock our time. Final field for the Railway Stakes. The barrier draw is tomorrow at 7:30, and you'll see that barrier draw on Sky Thoroughbred Central tomorrow night.
So Perfect Reflection, $5. McIntosh, $6. Regisse, $7. Scales of Justice, $8.
Yeah, Disposition, $9. Good Project, Hiyoshi, Kawi, and Tradesman all at $11. And the WA Guineas Soul Special, the $5 favourite there over Whispering Brook at $6. Samavare at $7. And Ellie Kazoom is a $9 chance.
I like that filly, Samavare. She went on Saturday. I like her.
I think you'll find her trimmed up in the Kingston Town too. 26 into 17.
Yeah, I like running the fillies in that race.
Which one? Samavare.
Samavare. Yeah.
Okay.
Ellie Kazoom was unlucky in that race.
She was. She got knocked down.
She was the one that Harvey got 26 meetings suspension for.
Yeah, well, usually Paul puts the line through the carnival in Perth. Well, anyway, he won't officially talk to anyone. So now he's actually been given an excuse by the stewards. All right, him going to the stewards and giving them an excuse.
So, Glenn, Samavare, $7, and Ellie Kazoom, $9.
In the
WA Guineas?
Yes.
You're listening to Punter's Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Back to Rosehill Gardens on the weekend, Ronnie. In the first race, didn't have to wait too long to see something fairly impressive from the Godolphin Yard in Veronello.
Looks a good colt. He paraded his little short coupled sort of horse, and it was hard to read his fitness levels, and he was going into an 1,100 with only one soft trial under his belt. But, geez, he came out of it with flying colours, I reckon. I don't think it was a bad race, and he's something that obviously they'll target for a Golden Slipper preparation. He's an athlete who's got gate speed. He was in an awkward spot for, you know, a first starter in the middle of two speedsters, one inside him, one outside him, and for him to quicken down with a horse sitting out the back coming at him and then lifting to another level, I think, yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good.
Yeah, Glenn, did the market react at all, or would you keep him safe? Obviously, that's, you know, come out, be impressive, win well, get away for a little bit of a break, then come back after Christmas.
Well, TK, the funny thing about him Saturday was a lot of people said, geez, I think this is one of the better bets of the day off his trials, albeit it hadn't been in fast time.
Yeah.
But
he eased in the market, though.
Yeah, he was a dramatic drifter, really. And there was a couple of those on Saturday. The other one I think that everyone had labelled as a good thing was Daisy Doom. And she'd sat there at 280 from Wednesday through to Saturday morning at 280, hadn't moved, was quite popular. Veronillo was quite popular in the first as well, but they got to the races and the bookies on track. All they did was, you know, had a contest to get them out.
And Moa was the other one.
Yeah, Moa was another dramatic drifter. I think we were 2 to 2:10 from Wednesday through to Friday. It was made 2:20 Saturday morning when we were doing the preview. And next minute you're looking at $3.
Yeah. Zumbelina in the second, Ronnie. Parade okay, did ease in the market as well.
Yeah, look, I'm not so sure she'd. It says she eased from $3 to $3.90 or $4, but yeah. I think that was just the percentages went up pretty high when those markets went first up, went up.
Well, so we put her up $3 on Wednesday.
Right.
She actually went up favourite. I tell you what, is there any more Melbourne horses can come to Sydney? Geez, I like them when they get up here and you can throw up 6-4 and they run second last.
Mm. She was a big tip, though.
Mandy?
Good filly. Good filly this, Zombolina. I know we're getting carried away again with, you know, summer form, which we can do, but there's something about her that's got quality. She's like her stable mate last week, whose name escapes me, but she could just pinch a couple of these early group races over the early autumn. She's that good. I really like her, and I was half potting her coming into that race.
Well, she was going from Wednesday maiden to Saturday race.
Exactly. But admittedly, she started $1.70 in that maiden, so she was well touted going into it. But I just thought that race had a bit of substance to it, and she toyed with them.
She put a good margin on, which is always a terrific sign. Do you know the stable thoughts with the horse now, Ronnie?
Well, I read a story. They're saying, well, geez, you know, it's 100,000 every race now. And she's a three-year-old. She's getting a Bob's bonus every time. So,
beautiful.
Why not, if there's races to suit her, keep her going? Or being a filly with, I don't know, with Mr. Troy, there is a breeder as well. It all revolves around the situation, or he owns the mare. You'd be looking for black types. So whether that intertwines with this preparation, or it all comes back to timing and what you want to do with her. But she'll be competitive in whatever she runs in.
Don't you love reading these out, Dino? You love listening to these. Dino, great tipping on the weekend, especially at Geelong yesterday. Got $18 on the corporates. Who says I'm ready? Well, yes. Done. Yeah, who says I'm ready? Well done. That's from Craig.
That's good.
Craig,
yeah,
thank you.
Craig.
You also
knocked off my price. I only got 14.
don't complain about that. That's a good sign.
Don't send praise, send cash.
Getting unders is a good sign. Dino might have to add a few bob to the expenses of the shake. He paid up for 7 final acceptors for the Melbourne Cup at $50,000 each, Tiger Marty.
Yeah, but he got some of that back with a bonus on Saturday.
Yeah.
QE running in both races. And there was one other. Well, Francis of Assisi got balloted, so he got a bonus, I think, at the Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, this is a hard one. Dungog Dragon has posed this question. How much Australian tax do the rich overseas trainers and owners pay? I bet I know nil. Dungog Dragon. Well, that would be, if you're an owner, you, and it's not a business.
If they're GST registered, they'd be paying tax.
Godolphin
would be.
Yeah, correct.
But if you're not, it's a windfall.
That's right. It's a lottery win.
Yep.
That's what it is. It'd be Dungog Dragon. It'd be complicated. All right.
If we go to Hong Kong and win an international race over there, do we have to pay tax?
Only if you're a business. If you're running your... If you're running your ownership of the horse as a business, you'd have to declare that, Ronnie.
Maybe your business is running at a loss, so it might be a tax deduction.
Correct.
I thought, like, you know, owner trainer like Joe Janiak, that would have been a windfall. Surely he wouldn't have been a...
He'd have to pay tax on the trainer's winning percentage, but not on the owner's winning percentage.
As an owner trainer?
Well, training's a business, isn't it?
Ring up Paul Carozzo. He's the... taxation genius in the racing industry.
Now, look, all I can say is I think every member of the taxation department are wonderful, warm human beings who do a terrific job.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Do we all agree?
And no, don't leave a stone unturned. They're very diligent in their job and they'll find you no matter where you are, what you do, or how much you've got.
G'day, boys. Quick question for Dino, who won plenty backing Sea Lord in the past, one of my favourite horses. Any idea when and where he may be running next? Sea Lord.
Yeah, he ran first up early in the carnival and I thought, well, he's getting ready for Melbourne Cup Day again. He won on Melbourne Cup Day last year at a big price. And he hasn't been seen, so I just wonder if something's gone amiss there.
Right.
Stephen Brown still got it?
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, well, he's listed as active in the race.
Yeah,
in Australia.
So he could still bob up.
Just doing some housekeeping here. We're on the sectional times for the highway handicap was the third fastest for the day. Do you think it was a really strong chapter of the race regards Big Teddy, or was the... Or I guess he's saying the track kept on improving. What did we start with, Ronnie? A 6 and we got to a 4?
Yes, we did. Yes,
I think.
We got to a 4 at the finish. The last three races were 4 races. Yeah, the Highway was quite a competitive race, but it wasn't fast run. He might be just talking about the finishing sectionals. It was because they stacked up there and they've darted home, which I would have thought that puts a lot of merit into the performance of the Queen, or Maddie Dunsmuir, Say You Love Me. I thought she was the one most disadvantaged by that early tempo.
Mm. So you'd say stick with Say You Love Me?
In a similar type race, yes.
Yeah.
And the other thing about the Tab Highway, there was about six or seven horses that had contested Tab Highways before. So therefore, you get a little bit of a better guide on the form rather than if you have them coming from all over the state, having not run in a Tab Highway, trying to compare form, for example, Western District's form with Southern District's form, with Northern River's form, with other country areas. If they've all run in Tab Highways before, you've actually got a better guide in trying to work them out.
Right. Yeah, that, exactly right. And is turnover holding up on the Tab Highways, Glenn, you know, for punters trying to compare all that different form?
Well, they'll never be the biggest holding race of the day, TK, and that's for two reasons. One, where they're positioned early in the program. But two, these sort of races where they can line them up better, they'll evidently bet more on them.
Yeah, exactly. Boys, stop punting at Perth after Lucky Grey debacle. Yeah,
Geez, that's a few years ago.
Don't hold a grudge anyway.
Yeah. What's that? What do you call it, Dino? The Statue of Limitation.
That's it. Well, certainly at least 4 years.
We need one to follow if possible, Dino.
Most of the horses that ran Saturday beginning towards the paddock. A horse called Moonlight's Choice of Darren Weir's. First time it was beaten on Saturday. It had won three in a row, but it still ran very well on Saturday. It'll drop back to a little bit lesser filly's grade. It'll win again very soon. Moonlight's Choice.
Moonlight's Choice. Hmm. Okay, that's one to follow from the Darren, all-powerful Darren Weir stable and Dino. Glenn, do you have one?
I thought Ronnie Quinton's horse, I Am Impressed, went good at Gosford on Wednesday. He's had a few chances, but I just thought he went really nice the last little bit at Gosford, and you've got to start looking for these horses now, you know, that are in our, you know, Wednesdays and Thursdays and the like, rather than our Saturday meetings, because we're getting into off-season racing here, and you can get the horses from the provincials can come to town.
Yeah, fair enough. And Ronnie, which one do you like?
Yeah, I agree with what Glenn just said. You know, I wouldn't have thought into that. I look at I could state the bleeding obvious and say Veronillo and Zumbalina, but.
We can still say that. We can still write them down. You can still put them in the black book.
I think that horse that resumed on Saturday, and he was a beaten favourite, but he got softened up, Merceau. He's going to win a couple of races this preparation, so we'll make it him.
All right, Merceau for you, which is fair enough. And it's great to see that Friday night, nighttime under lights at Canterbury, Glenn. It's getting a bit of a resurgence, mate, because they've got the markets going and some entertainment plus the races, and it's been proving a good Friday night out, and it's been a good success for the ATC the last couple of Fridays.
Has it, what, more than 4,000 people again on Friday night, backed up by more than 11,000 on Saturday. And if there was an unlucky runner on the program, it was the bloke that ran second in the fireman's race. He missed the start hopelessly. And Gigi found the line good back on the inside there. But, more than 11,000 there. And it just goes to show you, if you market to a particular area, they'll come to the races. And there was only the one blue, so I think that was a pretty good day.
What was the what was the turnover like on the fireman's race?
Yeah, well, Ronnie was a late scratching in the fireman's race. So we had to, deductions weren't big. Because he wasn't heavily in the market. But, no, definitely follow the bloke that runs second. If he can keep up that preparation he's put in, he'll be very, very hard to beat the next time he steps out.
If those blokes know how to put a fire out, I'll give it away.
You just think they're in the gym the whole time, do you?
Oh, fair. Oh,
they'll put a few fires out after the last when they were dancing with those girls inside. I know that.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thanks, TK. Now, that Sky Racing WA Guineas and also the Railway Stakes final fields, 4 o'clock this afternoon. Barrier draw for the Sky Racing WA Guineas is this afternoon. And Sorry, 3 o'clock this afternoon.
3 o'clock.
Yeah, so that's the Railway Stakes and the Sky Racing WA Guineas. Final fields this afternoon at 3. Barrier draw for the Sky Racing WA Guineas after final fields. And then, of course, the barrier draw tomorrow from 7.30. I think, I don't know whether we start at 7.30 or 7 o'clock on okay. Sky Thoroughbred Central for the Railway Stakes.
And just a reminder to everybody, too, that the Queen Elizabeth Market has gone up on the tab.com.au website. And what was that, Winks? $4.50, Glenn?
Slightly less,
TK. $1.80.
$1.80.
$1.80, Winks.
The hold still sits at 100. 100 on Winks at the $1.80. Congratulations to that person. Make sure you laminate the ticket.
Yeah, just the top three there are Winks $1.80, Hartnell $11, Omni Sword at $15, along with the United States. Thank you so much, Dino.
Thanks, TK.
Have a good rest of the week, mate. We'll be listening for all the winners. Ronnie, thanks again, mate. Glenn Munsey, as always, it's been your pleasure.